Hey, Rick Prosser, Kingdom Works here. Hey, it's great to be with you. In currently, and this is being recorded from Washington, D.C., in the USA, and been over here for 100 cities, 100 global cities summit, all about gospel movements, the church of the city, for the city, to the city. And with a friend, Dave King from Salford in England. Welcome, Dave.
Thanks, Rick. Great to be here with you in Washington, D.C. and talking to the folks back in Australia.
It's great to see you again, too. Salford, maybe not many of our listeners have heard of Salford, but it's part of the greater Manchester region. And every Australian's heard of Manchester. And for our listeners, I mean, there's just been an amazing transformation happen. Just describe Salford now. If I was to go to Salford, what would I experience?
If you enter to Salford now, Rick, you see a city very much changing. The centre of Salford, and it ties onto the centre of Manchester, the same city centre, is the fastest growing area outside the city of London in the UK.
Wow.
So the amount of cranes up, the amount of property being built, the investment coming in is bigger than I've known in my lifetime. So it's a city on the change, and we're praying it's on the change for the better.
And also a few media outlets.
Yeah, as part of that whole development there, as part of the Salford area, which was the old docks area, has been converted into a media city from being derelict ground for many years. That now is on its second phase of investment. So phase one was £1 billion of investment into building a place of creativity and a creative entrepreneurialism in the media.
Magnificent.
Phase two is happening now with another £1 billion of investment.
My gosh.
Huge figures, but figures that if spent right, actually help us really leave a legacy for the next generation to excel in the media.
So let's rewind now to when you were a little fella. Your dad was a pastor in Salford. And just describe what that was like growing up in Salford.
Well, Salford in the late 70s, 1970s, 1980s became an area of very high unemployment. The docks closed down, a lot of businesses closed down in the city.
So our listeners, the docks, it was a port.
It's a port city.
It was a port. Well, it had a big canal coming through.
So it's a port city 30 miles from the sea.
Yeah. I mean, that in itself was very entrepreneurial, to carve out a canal all the way through into Salford, Manchester. Which hosted the cotton trade, from memory.
Yeah. The area around Greater Manchester is quite a damp climate.
Yeah.
A bit wet, see what
I say. It sounds like the whole of England, actually. I've been there a few times, and I don't think I've seen the sun, but anyway.
It's a bit wet, which is great, actually, for spinning cotton.
Yeah.
Cotton needs a damp environment.
Yeah.
So that's where a lot of money was made. And the reason they built the canal, it was dearer to take the cotton from the West Indies, from Liverpool docks to Manchester, than it was to get it from the West Indies to Liverpool.
Oh, gosh.
Because the taxation on the docks was so high.
Yep.
So the cotton magnates in Greater Manchester, going back 100-plus years ago, decided to build their own canal to bypass the docks at Liverpool and build their own docks.
So in that day, I would imagine the place was prospering greatly.
Prospering greatly. There was lots of mansion houses, lots of money. Lots of poor areas where the dockers and the mill workers would work in the back-to-back terraces, but full unemployment, full employment.
And so, and then the as things grew, the ships grew, but the canal didn't grow.
Correct.
which ceased that import-export trade. Yeah.
With container shipping, the size of ocean going container ship liners, they've gone huge.
Yeah.
So it meant then they couldn't get up the canal because they had to put these special locks in the canal because the canal's going uphill.
Yeah, okay.
And so they couldn't get up the canal. And so the docks closed. That then has a knock-on effect. You can't trade if you can't sell your goods or you can't ship your goods out. So lots of knock-on effects. High unemployment then in the late 70s, way into the 80s, even into the 90s. Record levels of unemployment, record levels of a depressed economy, of youth unemployment, and then of crime, and the other things start to spiral out of control.
Your father was a pastor.
Yeah.
And so just describe the state of the church when he was pastoring.
So if I look at the church in the mid to the late 1980s, his church on the council area of Oddsall, in Salford. His church would have had about 30 people who came on a Sunday. Apart from the Catholic Church, that would have been the largest church in that council neighbourhood.
Which would have been roughly?
Which, in the sense of about sort of up to 15,000 people. An area of 15,000 people.
Yeah.
So 30 people.
And so there were a number of churches, but there was very few, if any. Well, apart from the Catholic Church, there was very few.
And even the Catholic Church didn't get above sort of 70, 80.
And so there was a bit of a bit of a saying: if you want to kill a church, planting a church in Salford, you just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, people didn't plant churches in Salford. A couple tried, but they didn't last long.
Yeah,
you know, a couple thought we could turn it round. They came in to try and plant, but after about a year, they'd leave.
You find yourself then, I mean, gang-related crime everywhere,
it
was unsafe. Did you feel it was unsafe when you were growing up?
Oh, very much. In the church at that era, I'd have been my late teens, early 20s, in the early 80s, we had steel-plated doors on the church.
On the doors, my gosh.
We had steel-plated doors on our house when we lived next to the church. and we had security intercom systems to let people in and out for security reasons.
There was a time where you vividly remember when the church was broken into.
Yeah, church was broken into numerous times. So was the library and the health centre, which were adjacent to the church.
Yeah.
But one particular time, I think you're aiming at, it was the church was broken into, and there was a group wanting to drive the church out
because gang-related, protection-related, which are all territorial.
Yeah, because really what they want is full control.
Yeah.
And the church, particularly my father as the vicar, the minister, wouldn't bend to the gang. He would stand up against the gang. The local lads called him hero because of it. So they broke into the church with sledgehammers and smashed chunks of the church up, the toilets, the kitchen, etc.
Wow.
Pushed the piano, an upright piano that the church used for worship in those days.
Yep.
Things have changed a bit nowadays. Pushed the upright piano out into the street and smashed it up in the street to let people around know what they thought of the church.
It must have been a time where your dad considered just giving up.
To be honest, many ministers did. Even some churches sold their buildings and moved the whole church to somewhere else, the independent churches who didn't necessarily have, a parish. They just moved out, and you couldn't blame them because the level of car crime was high as well. So if you drove to church on a Sunday, you might be walking home because your car might not be there at the end of service. And that happened to many people. So in a sense, we look back with a sense of humour now, but it was a frightening time.
That was frightening. Yeah. Hey, have you just joined us? Rick Prosser here, Kingdom Works. I'm in Washington, D.C. With a good friend, Dave King from Salford, part of the greater Manchester region in the UK. Dave, now Salford's one of the great media cities, next billion dollar investment going into the city, which was a derelict, crime-riddled city. Just let's bridge the gap from that derelict, crime-ridden. You went to Bible college, you studied, and your prayer was, Lord, take me anywhere in the world but back to Salford.
Yeah, in many respects, I'd grown up, I lived with my dad in a tough area. When you're 25, 26, you want to protect your parents.
Yeah.
But you can't protect your parents against that level of crime,
no.
Against that level of intimidation. You just can't do it. And so in a sense that I just want to go somewhere a bit easier. God called me directly back to Salford to work with young people, to make it credible to see young people come to faith. And that was the first step of my story.
There was a word, because, I mean, your father, very faithful, yourself, very faithful in the little things, and praying and prayer walking, the docks where these boats were then now derelict, I've heard you share a story about that wasteland and a prophetic word that came from the Lord, and just share around that.
So, For the early part of the 90s, we became really successful. We'd work with young people. But when they were about 14, the young people stopped coming to church, not because of peer pressure, but because of the organised crime and protection and selling stolen goods on the estate. Because if you're a Christian, potentially a slang term in Salford would be you'd be a grass. You'd have to tell the police about what people were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that changed. And then God challenged us to see the culture and the place change, to make it credible for young people to grow up without that fear, so they could come to faith without that fear of total intimidation. And God gave us a word about the derelict dockland that this council estate of Oddsall comes onto. And he told us that that dockland, the nations will come back to Salford, and Salford will go to the nations. He also lets us know and taught us there's no such thing as waste ground.
Mm.
What we had to do is pray and find what was his purpose in that generation for that piece of ground.
Amazing.
And as we prayed about that, God challenged us again to pray and find out what was the gifting he put on our city.
Mm.
So got a very long story short of a few years, we saw that the gift in our city was a gift of creativity. We had Oscar-winning actors came from our city,
really?
Ben Kingsley and Albert Finney, both won leading male actors. Now, there's only about 80 Oscars been given out for leading male actors. Mm. We've won two of them. A city the size of Salford shouldn't have that many.
Well, I mean, the forefathers back in the cotton trade were very creative and dodging the expensive prices from the docks up in Liverpool.
Correct. So we had that ingenuity, that creativity. Yeah. We had artists, we had poets, we had painters, etc. in the city. But there was no centre of creativity. So as we prayed, God put it on the heart. I believe God did that. Put it on the heart of a businessman in the city who oversaw the city of Salford, a key businessman, to build a media city. He got the further the BBC to move from London to Salford. He got the biggest independent broadcaster to move to Salford. A sole proper that is film called Coronation Street. He got them to move and build a brand new set and move all their production to Salford. He now has managed to persuade over 100 major media companies to be based there.
And all that's great and that's brilliant, but the transformation of that side of land has penetrated more than just that piece of land.
Yeah.
Where else, I mean, education, else has that impacted?
So for me, as I look at the city, it's impacted across all different spheres.
Yeah.
So in education, every single high school in the city of Salford has been rebuilt in that time frame I've talked about.
Wow.
Every single one. So what you want to do, you don't want your children being educated in older schools that are a bit dilapidated. You want them in an environment that inspires them.
Mm.
That belief, when I go in that place, it's geared for me to achieve. Our hospital now is the best hospital outside of the City of London.
Wow.
It has quite a number of specialisms now, national specialisms in that hospital. It's won major awards. We could go through a number of different things like that's happened.
And the church, described.
And the church. So that council ward of Oddsall, where in the 80s into the 90s, my dad would have been one of the biggest churches bar the Catholic Church, with 30 people in. The largest type of evangelical type church there now counts their Sunday congregation in the thousands.
Wow.
They get 3,000 to 5,000, that's their figures.
Could you just think back now when you're 25, could you imagine that?
No. When I was 25, my idea of revival was the Holy Spirit coming in power and a number of people getting saved.
Right.
If that had been a church of 200, that would have seemed huge to us, because that was so many percentages times. You know, 30 to 200 is a big jump.
So you just mentioned revival, and many of our listeners would have heard of revival, but this is city transformation.
Yeah.
And so it's not just souls coming to Lord, although that has happened.
Yeah, definitely.
It's the entire fabric of the land.
Yeah. What interests me about this, I've read for many years on revival as a child into adult life, had a passion to see people come to faith, to excel in their faith. As I read my Bible, I realise as well that actually God's interested in the land.
Yeah,
He's interested
absolutely.
In the full person, not just their spiritual side.
Mm.
He wants them to work. He made us to work. He made us to learn. He made us to grow. He made us to develop. He made us to have solid family units, not dysfunctional family units, etc.
Mm.
We're starting to see that change. We're not perfect by a long way in our cities, but we're starting to see it change.
This would probably be one of the greatest transformation stories in cities in the Western world ever. That we know of. You mentioned before, and I just want you to speak in, some of our listeners, you mentioned wasteland. There's no such thing as wasteland to the Lord. And perhaps some of our listeners, I just want you to speak to them now, perhaps some of our listeners might see some things in their life as wasteland or wasted.
Yeah.
Yeah, just speak into that a little bit.
Yeah. The way I look at it is this. When God created the world, He created the Garden of Eden as the role model.
Mm.
And then he said this over Adam and Eve and mankind, go and multiply and fill the earth. Now, he wants us to fill the earth like the Garden of Eden. to take the Garden of Eden out. Now then, in your life, God has gifted you, God has blessed you, God has put major things into your life, and sometimes we can't see them. But he's given us in him through Christ Jesus the chance to see the whole of our life redeemed, the whole of our life changed, and actually we can come back to him and we can ask him to help us in those areas of our lives that may be a struggle, may be hard for us. We may think we've even lost a few battles in life or been had a good knock in life. He can heal, he can restore, and he can bring about an amazing future for
us. Beautiful, magnificent, very inspiring, mate. And that story's now taking it. Well, did you ever think you'd be in the United States of America, Washington, D.C.? Maybe not.
To me, I didn't really go on a plane until I was 50 years old.
Well,
and in the last few years, I've flown in many different places.
Hopefully, you can come out to Australia again soon.
I look forward to coming back and look forward to meeting you and your listeners on the radio station again sometime.
Dave, blessings to you, mate. It's been great having you on the program. Thanks for being with us again.
Thanks, Rick. And God bless all you listening there today.
Hey, it's been great being with you again. Go to our website. Kingdomworks.org.au. We've got a video story of the Salford story. It is magnificent. I'll tell you what, you'll be inspired by what's happened there. And my hope and prayer is that you'll be inspired by what can happen in our place. Because I tell you what, God is able. And so God bless you. Look forward to joining you again soon. Bye for now.